Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
current rehabilitation from a small mild stroke, apparently. In this particular podcast, I'm just going to just tell you where I'm up to in podcasting technology and tell you up to where I'm up to in terms of rehabilitation from what has been analysed at the moment tentatively as a small minor strokes in the brain due to my heart condition. The heart condition was sending out clots to my eyes and the brain, and they've done some tests recently seeing not quite sophisticated tests, but they're tests where they actually measure your general ability and work out where there's deficits and stuff like that. So it's going to be an exciting time in that I'll be going up to PET scans, apparently. But I just turn up, answer questions, and then they say, oh, here, have a PET scan. Now, there's a little bit of a drama here in that Australia, or this region of the world, it's going through an amber light at the moment. This region of the world has only one nuclear reactor, one research nuclear reactor for thousands of kilometres around, I think, even up to Indonesia, up around, I don't know what they do in Malaysia and stuff like that. So if you can imagine a whole segment of the world with no nuclear reactors, I think our nuclear reactor does in New Zealand as well. And it's relevant because the scan they're going to eventually do to look at my brain function or recovery, how the recovery is going, is a PET scan, and that requires a special radioactive, an antimatter sugar that you eat, and the sugar, antimatter sugar, goes up. It decays via antimatter. So it's normal matter, but when you its decay is through antimatter, and you glow with antimatter in a particular way due to PET scans. I'll discuss that more coming up, but the issue here is that there is, in this entire process, there's a conveyor belt from some nuclear power source. So I really don't quite understand it, because PET scans are with a synchrotron, so I really cannot quite understand what's going on here. So at any rate, it's sent the medical imaging world in turmoil, and we have to do all sorts of funny things, getting things flown in from the United States. And of course, with all these radioactive things, they only last a certain hours or days or stuff like that before they can be used. So it's a big deal flying something in from the United States. It's sort of like you're paying twice as much for it, because you half of it disappears in flight. Look, really thinking, I really don't know what the big fuss is, but they'll go and hopefully image my brain. Now, on the opposite side of things, one of the things I did realise is that I'd lost certain memories and certain abilities to speak, and I had to really, really work at podcasting or speaking to get going. Now, this is my own realisation. The actual realisation of society's hold is that if you can't perform, they just judge you badly, and the opportunity disappears. You're sacked, basically. And so, given that, you can keep the wolves from the door and just rehabilitate madly to get up to scratch. And as you see things, slowly expand and go across. So the overall idea is that you set a notional target and work towards it. You might reach there, but working towards it is a good target to go for. So one of the targets I was going for is a podcast per lesson. Absolutely every lesson I teach, there's a sophisticated podcast going around, and it's podcasting going to different levels in terms of a particular explanation, say quantum mechanics or chemistry and stuff like that. There's a lack of understanding which has gone, let's check I'm not going over the speed limit here, and I'll talk about this in a second. The lack of understanding has become embedded in the system, and I'm not a genius, and I can't actually solve all these problems. They take quite a lot of work to solve it. You can, like, I'm beginning to go through quantum mechanics, and the actual real issue here is something quite deep, something quite useful, but it's not something that anyone has been able to say, look, I can explain quantum mechanics like that, for instance. Oh. So let's talk about some of the technologies coming across. I've just started off with one dictaphone technology. Unfortunately, that I began to do a story about how unsuccessful person can get places you can't get if you have success. That's what I was going to do. It was about one being unsuccessful. And when I did that, you can hear, hopefully you might be able to hear different road surfaces going through here. That dictaphone blew up. So with a short amount of money, I was only able to buy a relatively cheap Olympus dictaphone, and I've just experimented where I can place it in the car and actually hopefully get a reasonable quality podcast. Now, this is the entire thing about going for a large scale target. You've got many things about, like, you can get a solution, but the solution can be an expensive solution. So one of the things I'll check is whether the actual volume produced by this is sufficiently loud that I can actually just insert it into my software, which is at the moment. So at the moment, I don't have something which can examine an MP3 file, judge its overall volume, and tweak its volume within a reproducible range. Sure, that would be great if I could do that, but I can't at the moment. So the way to do that was actually transport the file across to Audacity, and when you're actually aiming to produce. So far today, I've produced 6 podcasts, and ideally, I wanted to handle a much larger number of podcasts. So that's the technology, and so I'm just really excited, and I'll go back and listen to this. I'm going to have to turn off. So I'm travelling up the Blue Mountains from Glenbrook, which is a secret valley. It's amazing. Glenbrook, which is towards the foot of the Blue Mountains, just before Glenbrook plunges down into the valleys of the Valley of Sydney, there's a hill, which rise, or more like hills, they are just hills, just one or two little rises, and so Glenbrook's nestling up around 300 metres high above the Sydney Plain, and it's a little village here, and then you go further up to Springwood, and eventually all the way up to 900 metres up at Katoomba. I think Katoomba, 900, 700 metres across here. Be carefully here, there's no point doing it. So I'm just driving off to yet another medical appointment. It's rather nice coming along here. What I'll do in this one is actually just explain the situation coming up. I suppose one of the important things to understand is that I'm not an actor. Obviously the actions occurred around me, but I haven't actually made conscious decisions to go down a particular path, in as much that it hasn't been my conscious decision to have a active heart valve, and going on from there, I haven't had made the conscious decision that over time, over 50 years, that heart valve would eventually pack up, and I again haven't responded to symptoms in a melodramatic story way. The story's actually unfolded as I've experienced. I'm just going to go around here. Sorry, that's a roundabout. We'll be up at the doctor's place in no time. This is up at Winbilly there. So there's these cross spurs from the central spur, spur line we're going up is right, travels almost right across the Blue Mountains, and this office spur, there's another spur which we're travelling on to this place. Yeah, so what essentially happened is that this valve began to stop working, and the heart, to compensate, has shrunk the size of the opening in the heart. And so my heart was actually basically choking itself, and they cut it off, cut it out. But besides that, there is, and you can tell this now, there is, the flow was uneven. There were little flakes of clot on this valve, and causing little, for me, vision loss. But then now people say, well, look, if it's causing vision loss in your eyes, only temporary vision loss, it will also be doing that in other parts of your body. And indeed, my other parts of the body were really struggling with this, so particularly my liver and stuff like that. So now, I used to think that something had happened. They'd reformulated the washing powder because it was really itchy and all this type of stuff. And I thought, gee, I just, no matter how hard I try, I can't get fit. I'm getting fat and bloated. All these simple things. And so, when I reported, oh, look, I can't remember actors' names. There's certain areas I could not remember the slightest a bit, and then I'd have to. So at any point, at this stage, the hypothesis is for the lack of memory and the real struggle to learn how to speak again coherently, which I'm doing now, is archetypal of some sort of brain strokes, and that I'm doing repairing. And so now they're coming in saying, now we've identified it, now you can do rehabilitation. Of course, I've sort of recognize this independently. I'm saying I'm fantastic, aren't I? Well, the basic thing is that I don't feel bad about just checking the speed limits here. I don't feel bad about skiting about things because I haven't got any friends. So there's no one I'm skiting to, and I just don't actually have the time to feel hard done by or to show off or anything. So I essentially knew that I had to increase my breathing capacity to sort of mechanically increase my breathing capacity, and also keep my mind working and focused coming out of this. And so what has essentially happened is that I'm learning to podcast and speak and get across. And and so one of the things that I am realising now is that I would actually like some mentoring as I'm going across. Some mentoring about how to navigate the landscape of modern social media. I can do sort of basic things like write the software, link basic things across, but I've got none of the actual understanding of the soft side of social media, about what actually makes a post really interesting. Although I do have this singles which, I'm not going to tell you too much where I'm going, or to give confidential information away, but I've got a little bit of time up my sleeve. That's great. It's a really interesting little place around here, and this is again a ridge off a ridge. So really, the Blue Mountains and all of Sydney is really hard to navigate until you work out, say, it's a fractal pattern, and there is actual fractal maths in the actual shaping of Sydney when you look at that. Oh, here we go. Oops. So that's the story of how we've got here. So I'm in the podcast, and one of the things in research is that you don't know the answer. Very frustrating. You don't know the answer. Strategy which just gets you to find the answer with the minimum amount of back research, that's an investigation rather than an search. So research is a much broader strategy, and so you can see that not knowing an answer is a symptom of a much larger potential problem. So that's positioning yourself strategically in the information skills space or capability space. So, Yes, there was a problem, an ill-defined problem that operation or with the speak as well move. That was a problem, and the problem I could fix by one speech or rehearsing for one. But there was a whole set of what seemed to be interrelated problems, and there's this space and finance, and go out and actually start to build and construct a solution. So I've sort of constructing a solution on several levels, and they're interacting. One is the technical level, iPhones, podcasts, and realistic software which can actually produce things. Other level, there's the knowledge to structure it. That is learning fully about CRISPR or your knowledge of the periodic table again. So learn to me, but probably in a different way than perhaps the groups that you can interact with. So tend to really focus on the group which is causing you the most pain or threatening. There are other groups which require attention. So Aboriginal computer scientists who have recreated they've recreated Australia. Virtual reality without blame to artistic interpretation, digital artists. And then there's other groups with tutoring and explain. There's sort of aspects to how you think about these groups. It's the amount of time, the amount of strategy that you can put. Certain space which I'll never be able to produce a image-based communication one. As I know it's there, and basic interaction at the moment is say, look, you're there, and I'll be looking out for your interest if I can. So the difficulty I have going forward is something. It's a shared experience. It's the experience, their experience, and I'm experienced. It's sort of like, which really gets me onto the involvement of where education is at the moment. And that working skill is one thing which people are working about. Oh, we'll give them mobile phones and they can do this and can produce that project. There is actually a much more subtle thing, which I think strategies to work with you. And they ask a lot. And trust and understand. I don't understand that, but this strategic view is sort of rather interesting, and I'll find out for sure. Is actually any psychologically or phenomenologically on from a sudden downward. So I think I was declining for a while, and then with this a lot of effort, I've gone up, and it's sort of like you've fallen down a valley. You're going up to the hill, but you can't remember the way. You can't really recreate where you were, and so you arrive at a slightly different point. And you're not the point that you were at was constrained by people around you, expectations, times, and limitations. So you arrive at a slightly that's where it is. And coming up in the future, there's intellectually there's been this gap. It may or may not be real, and I'll find out. Sure. As they do various measurements. Now, that's a great thing is what is going on. Got a body of concrete circumstantial evidence, working system, breaks in the back of the eye, concrete tests where certain level at certain levels, and then there's a distinct gap put on it. And other things. And be sure we're at a area of this. We've got basically, I'm a cyborg. I've got a chaotic quantum carbon part which will last is the stuff of valve or pig valve. Say, well, there's no such thing of carbon valve. Fascination of light, the DNA stuff that they've sort of painted themselves into ordinary life, and they have patterns as ordinary and on inside. And you have to be sensitive to this. And this is about podcasting. You can get up to an audience who ordinary is in fact that just ordinary. Yeah, give me ordinary. I'm not ordinary. I'm just an activist. I really just hope that my audience, podcast audience, spectivists, rather than anyone who, in terms of that, at any one point, I'm building my perspective. I'm not actually in your face. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not trying to do anything in particular. Thanks for listening. Another podcast.
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.